We're finishing our series today, What to Do When. You know, we've been talking about these when moments, and those when moments when you're not sure what to do, or you look at the future, it's kind of foggy, or your outlook, it's just uncertain, or we don't like where we're heading. We all have when moments, true? It's a time when we find ourselves questioning, searching for answers. And I believe when we're in those when moments, we hear a lot of voices, kind of like the drama. I think those when moments can be very frustrating. They can be confusing. And if we're not careful, I think they can be paralyzing and even destructive in our lives. My hope and prayer has been that as we've been going through these different topics, that we would come to recognize the when moments in our lives are really defining moments. They're clarifying moments. They're God-given opportunities. I believe they're opportunities for us to grow as a person and to grow in our faith. And so today what I want to focus on is when God, through the Holy Spirit, is trying to lead us. And I believe if we're not careful with these moments that God gives us, that it's really easy to just miss them and mess them up. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I went to a Christian school, and part of our daily schedule was Miss Thompson, our main teacher. She would read us a Bible story every day right before lunch, and most of the time, we'd sit and we'd listen, and as soon as the bell would ring, I'd fly out the door. And I remember one day she was reading a story from the Old Testament. It was about a boy named Samuel. And Samuel was working in the temple for an old priest by the name of Eli. And the story is found in 1 Samuel 3. I'd encourage you to maybe read it part of your devotions this week. But Samuel, this young man, goes to bed that night. And while he's asleep, he hears, "Samuel." And so he gets up, he goes in, he wakes Eli up, he goes, did you call, you know, and what do you want? And Eli's like, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel goes back to bed, he lies down, and again he hears that voice, "Samuel." And so the young man gets up again, he goes into Eli's room, goes, "What do you want?" He's like, "Samuel, I didn't call you." He says, "No more caffeine for you after supper, bud. You go back to bed now." And so a third time, Samuel is laying there, and he hears, "Samuel." This time he gets up, he goes, "Come on, Eli, what do you want?" And so Eli begins to reason that perhaps God's trying to get the young man's attention. And he says to him, he says, "Samuel, the next time you hear the voice, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say these words, 'Speak, Lord, your servant's listening.'" And so Samuel goes back to bed, lies down. Sure enough, he hears that voice, "Samuel." And so Samuel sits up and he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And God speaks. In fact, the next morning, Samuel would give a message to Eli, and he would deliver it word for word, what God had said to him. Now, it was about that point that the bell rang. Everybody's flying out the door. I was usually the first one out the door. I was a starving teenager at that age, and so I'd bust out and head to lunch. But not that day. I just sat there. Finally, Miss Thompson, she's like, "Aren't you going to lunch today?" I didn't move. She goes, "Something wrong." And so I was kind of stammering. I think, as I think about it, maybe a bit embarrassed at this point. And so finally, I just got it out. I said, "Miss Thompson, do you think God speaks to boys today?" She goes, "Why you ask that?" And then I proceeded to try and explain myself. I said, "You know, I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes I'm with my friends, and there'll be some kids ganging up on some other kids that aren't maybe as popular, or pretty or strong. And I just feel like there's something inside me. Like God's saying, go stop those kids from doing that. It's not right. Or sometimes I'm with my friends and, you know, they're using language they shouldn't, or they're taking pot shots at their parents. And I get this strong feeling that I shouldn't do it, that maybe I should tell them to knock it off. It's like God's speaking. And friends, looking back on it, I now realize that my whole life, my whole spiritual future was defined by leadings. But at the time, I was really just asking a question that I didn't know would change my whole life. Do you think God speaks today? Now, I remember Miss Thompson telling me, she said, absolutely, Damon. You know, God still speaks to people today. And she says, if you'll listen and obey, God will do that for your entire life. I remember as I got ready to leave, she said to me, she said, you know, Damon, God's going to do something special in your life. 8th grade. I remember thinking from that day forward, that's what I want. I want to let God speak to me. I want to let God lead me and just see what happens. And as I look back, I turned 50 this year, maybe getting a little sentimental, but I realize that I have changed the course of my life numerous times because of leadings, because of promptings. You know, I got that leading early in my life to turn my life over to Jesus Christ, and so I did that when I was in 6th grade. Shortly after the conversation that I just explained with my teacher, I got this leading to commit my life to ministry. And so I started trying to prepare myself for that. I graduated from high school. I got a leading to go to Bible college. And honestly, I could go on and on. I could talk all morning about various leadings. The fact that we're sitting here, I mean, leading led to the birth of this church. And so through the years, I've realized leadings have a huge impact in our life, you know. And at times, I've had leadings that are a bit strange, but the leadings are unmistakable. You know, I felt God leading, nudging, sometimes pressing, sometimes pushing. But I look back and I realize those moments changed everything. And it's not just big leadings. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I believe that it's some of the small leadings make the Christian walk an adventure. It's those little leadings, those little things that happen through the course of the day, just everyday life stuff. Remember several years ago, I think maybe I've shared this before, but it had been kind of an intense weekend, and to be honest, I just left and was tired. Now I'm heading home. I'm driving, and it was winter. It was cold. It was snowing out a little bit. And so I'm driving, and I'm kind of debriefing with God, which is something I usually do after a service. And I was kind of like, you know, hey, got through another weekend, God. People didn't riot. Thanks for helping, you know, that kind of thing. And about halfway home, I just got this impression, let's say. And it was kind of like the Holy Spirit. It's like, turn around, turn around. And so kind of my reflex action was, what for? You know, am I missing an appointment? Haven't done that very often. My mom one time, but otherwise, you know. Did I drop something, you know? And so I pulled over. And I'm kind of checking my pockets. I looked at my schedule. I'm looking through my backpack. Everything seems to be there. And so finally I was like, oh, well, let's turn around and see if there's something to this. And so I headed back to church. Got back to church, and I noticed there was a car in the parking lot. And there was this very frail, elderly woman And she was stuck. She was stuck in the parking lot. Didn't even attend the church, but she was stuck. And so I helped her get her car unstuck, and then I followed her home, made sure she got in the house, and I asked her, I said, "You're going to be okay?" And it was about that moment that she kind of got teary-eyed on me and, you know, said thanks. And it wasn't until I got back in the car that really the full weight of what just happened hit me. And this is the thought, and it's an amazing thought if you think about it. You know, the God who created this universe, the God who holds the planets in place and the stars, God who sustains this planet we call Earth, almost 7 billion people in it, amidst all the war and the famine and the distress and the corruption and all the chaos, God was looking down and saw one elderly daughter who was kind of fragile and weak, stuck in the snow. God sees one of his young, strong, virile sons. Okay, pick one of them, okay? Pick one of them. Okay, a son nearby. And if that son is listening, all God has to do is go, psst, turn around. And by God's grace, I happened to be in a condition where I was listening that day. God had one of his sons take care of one of his daughters. And friends, that's an amazing thing. And God does that kind of stuff all the time. You know, it was years ago, I remember speaking on this topic, and when I had finished the message, I had talked about God prompting us and stuff, and I had a guy, he caught me after the service, and he just said to me, he said, "Hey, I'm kind of a new Christian," and he goes, "I coach peewee basketball," and he says, "I got all these kids on my team, and they come from broken families." He goes, "I've got a couple kids, they don't even have fathers on the scene." He said, "I was heading into service one day." He said, "I noticed one of the little guys that's on my team." But he said, "I was in a hurry, and so I just kept walking." Now, these were his exact words. He said, "The Holy Spirit prompted me very strongly." He said, "I didn't understand it at the time, but I got this impression that I was supposed to go say hi to that boy." And he said, "As I got closer to the young man, I realized that he was crying." And so he said he just kind of knelt down next to him. He's like, "What's the matter?" He said, "This little boy, he was like kindergarten, first grade. He said, I want to wear my tie to church, but my dad's gone and I can't tie it." And so he described doing what many of us young men had our fathers do. And he got behind him and he tied his tie for him. This guy, in that moment, he said, "If I hadn't paid attention to that prompting, I would have missed it." Friends, there's a clue that it's a leading. And I know as I say this and as I share some of these stories that some of you are going, "Well, yeah, that's what happens to you. You know, that's what happens to people that have this private line to God." And I want to tell you that's not true. That's not true. All of you, every single person sitting here today has had promptings and leadings. The fact that some of you are even sitting here this morning, it's because of a prompting from God. I will bet you money that some of you this morning, when you got up, you thought, "Am I going to church or am I not going to church?" You know, part of you was thinking, "The bed feels pretty comfortable. It's kind of cloudy out." But there was another part. It said, "Come on. Every time you get up and go, every time you open your heart up just a little bit, God touches you and speaks to you. Some of you are here because of a leading. You know, Jesus put it this way. John 6:44, he says, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me." It's true, isn't it? I hear this all the time. Hadn't been to church in years. Minding my own business. Had plans for the weekend. It rolled around. And then I felt this strange drawing. So I came to church today. Friends, those are leadings from God, friends. I mean, if you keep following those leadings, ultimately what happens is you give your life to Jesus Christ. Those of you that are Christians, you know about promptings. You know, because there came a point in your life where you finally were all in, you know. Am I going to give my life to Jesus Christ? And you said yes, you stepped over the line because of a leading in your life. Because you responded to God drawing and pulling you. And these leadings happen all the time. All the time. You're at work. You face an ethical situation. Part of you goes, it's not a big deal. Go for it. Everybody else is doing it. Why not? And then the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you to do the ethical thing, the God-honoring thing. And you shift. You have a broken relationship. Pride. Man, it kicks in. I am not going to crawl back to them. I am not going to say I'm sorry. And then the Spirit of God begins to speak very strongly, very clearly into your life. Hey, wait a minute. Relationships are way more important than your pride. Just go say, I'm sorry. And my point with all of this is promptings, leadings, they happen all the time in our life. And what I want to do with the time we have left is really speak to two questions that I get asked more than anything when it comes to this topic. I think they're questions that really burn in our minds. And that is, first question, how can I receive more leadings? You know, how can I increase the likelihood that God will prompt me? How can I receive more of those promptings? And right out of the gate, I want to say to you, you got to believe. First of all, with all your heart, you got to believe the Bible's true. You got to believe when Scripture says that God, more than anything, wants to walk with you and talk with you and do life with you. You got to believe that. You know, a key question, do you believe that? Or do you believe that Christianity happens an hour a week in here, you know? Through pastor, through drama or music. Is that the only time God speaks? Because the Bible teaches from cover to cover, God wants to walk with you and talk with you each and every day, each and every moment. You know, a lot of other faiths kind of have these impersonal deities, you know, that the faith's been broken down into like a set of doctrines to be learned and some rules to follow. That's not the heart of Christianity. I know some of you were taught that was what faith is. That's not it. It's relationship. You know, a God that longs to have a relationship with you, that sincerely yearns to do each and every day, each and every moment with you. I think that's why the imagery in Scripture, it talks a lot about walking in the Spirit, walking hand in hand with God, you know, doing life with God. The Apostle Paul, he puts it this way. He says, "For we walk by faith, not sight." Walk by faith, not sight. Paul is saying, since you're a Christian, life is no longer normal business stuff. You know, and in other words, life no longer consists of that which can be seen, that which can be smelled and heard and felt. and tasted and figured out with your human logic and intellect. No. There's a whole other dimension to our reality, a supernatural dimension. No matter how uncomfortable that may make you, it's true. You know, God's word says that if we open ourselves up to that dimension of living, that spiritual dimension, that we will be amazed at what an adventure life becomes. You know, when you find yourself walking by faith, walking not just by sight, I'm not saying don't use your sight, but that this is a game changer in your walk with God and in life. I'm talking about doing your day with an awareness that God is speaking, that God is prompting, that God wants to lead you. But a lot of us don't have that experience, do we? You know, one of the things, in order to help myself, I started a discipline every morning. You know, I've been doing it for more than 20 years. You know, I get up in the morning, and when I hit the hot tub, and I'm getting ready in the morning, I just do one of these, "Good morning, Lord. You know, today I want to do today with you. I want to feel your hand in mine. I want to hear your voice. You know, I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I want to do this day," operative word here, "together." Together. See, I wonder what would happen if every one of us made a commitment to start our day like that. "God, let's do this day together." See, I believe a lot of things would change. I believe some of you, your life would change significantly. You know, you'd find the fulfillment that you're looking for and the joy and the peace, these things that seem to be getting away from you. But you got to start. You know, something else that has helped me through the years was to always have a Bible verse that kind of speaks to who I want to become. You know, and then to memorize it and allow God to speak through that truth of his word. You know, scripture says sharper than a two-edged sword. That, you know, by keeping my eye on that, what happens, it changes my mind and my heart. I mean, good illustration, early in my ministry, I had a mentor, and he noticed something about me. He noticed that I could be a bit insensitive when it came to relational patterns in my life. And so he challenged me. He said, "You need to find a scripture that points you toward what you want to become." He goes, "You need to memorize it." And so I took the challenge, and I searched through scripture. And finally, Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you." You know, and so what I did, I just started saying that all the time. And so I'd be in a relational setting, and I could feel the heat rising. You know what I'm talking about? You could just tell your buttons getting pushed or whatever. And I'd be tempted to say something very intense. And that was like the Holy Spirit just speaking to me, Damon, before you say something, remember, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. Damon, do you remember all the stuff I've forgiven you? Do you remember how I've forgiven you? And I'd be driving. Someone would cut me off trying to come into church, you know. Now I'd be driving, and, you know, somebody cut me off, and I would feel myself wanting to demonstrate that universal gesture of intense disapproval. And I'd hear that voice. "Wait a minute. Damon, be kind. Remember, be tenderhearted. Let it go. Forgive them. Probably wasn't personal. Remember how I forgave you." And friends, the Holy Spirit still brings that to mind time and time again. And it leads me in a new direction. It was almost 25 years ago. Now I stand before you, I'm practically a teddy bear. tenderness oozing from every pore. Here's what I'm saying. It can happen to you. I'm a bit more sensitive and loving than I used to be. But I'm still in process, okay? But God will bring that verse to mind, even to this day. Memorize a verse that will help you grow. You know, let God speak into your life through that verse. Some of you do not need to memorize a verse about tenderness. Tenderness comes easy for you. I hate people like you. But you need to find a verse that speaks to an area in your life where you need to grow, where you want the Holy Spirit to speak strongly to you. You need to do that. And here's something else that'll help you get more leadings. And this might be the most important of the things. It has been my observation through the years that people who listen, who respond, who obey whatever the leading is, they tend to get more leadings. I challenge you to see if it's not true. You know, when you sense the Holy Spirit trying to lead you, if your response is, "No way, I don't think so, God, try again." Well, friend, do not be surprised if over time, things get a lot quieter in your life. I mean, let's be honest. Why would God waste speaking, waste nudging and prompting if consistently you just blow him off? I mean, if you're not responding to what God's calling you to do, you're not growing. And I want you to understand, this is not a pick and choose thing. Nah, don't want to do that. I'll wait for the next one. Wait for something that I want to do. Like, you know, somehow we're putting God on notice about here's what I'll do, here's what I won't do. It doesn't work that way, friends. You are just hurting yourself and you're missing out. You're just missing out. On the other hand, I believe if you develop an awareness, a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, that's basically says, God, you just say the word, you nudge me a little bit, and I will do my best to respond and obey whatever it is that you would have me do. Well, don't be surprised if you start hearing God more, feeling God more, sensing God more. Don't be surprised. God will start leading you more because God tends to lead those who honor him, period. So first question is, how do you get more leadings? The second question, just as important, how can I be sure these promptings or these leadings are from God? How can I be sure I'm not making them up, that it's not some other voice? Again, kind of like in our drama. This is an important question. You know, John, I think, gives us some great advice. John writes, he goes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God." You know, don't believe every voice. Don't believe everything you hear or sense or, you know, that prompting or whatever. Don't believe it always. The fact is that sometimes you'll hear about a crackpot or, you know, somebody that claims God told them to do something, and so they shoot someone or they do something off the chart or whatever. And I want to be clear, God did not tell them to do that. I mean, there's something going on there, but it's not God speaking. You know, how do I know that? Because it doesn't pass the test. You know, and one of the first tests is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with the Bible? You know, to put the leading through the Bible test in your life. You know, whatever it is, when you have that restless spirit that you feel like you're being drawn in a new direction, or you have an idea, or you start thinking, you know, maybe God's speaking to me, test it. Test it. See if the leading is consistent with the general principles of God's word. If it's not, don't do it. It's that simple. God will never, ever lead you to violate a very clear teaching of his word. Never will happen. I remember years ago, it wasn't at this church, I was serving another church at the time, but we're in the middle of a building campaign. We were raising funds for that. And I had a guy caught me after service, and he said he had a message from God for me. And so he said, God told me to tell you that you're to take the weekend's offering and you're to buy lottery tickets. He did. He went on, he said, you know, lottery is $6 million. He goes, we'll be able to pay off the debt and build some new things. And I turned to him, I said, well, thanks for the idea, but that's not from God. And he got kind of offended. He's like, well, what do you mean? How can you be so sure? And I said, because God's word, scripture, is dead set against get-rich-quick schemes. You know, God is anti-gambling. Scripture is very clear that we're to acquire our wealth by diligent labor, by developing our skills, by competency and character. But I hear these kind of things all the time. You know, ideas, things people believe that God has given them, and it's just not. It runs totally against Scripture. You know, from time to time, I'll have somebody that's married, and they'll catch me, and they'll go, I met someone. God brought this person into my life. I mean, it's not my spouse, but I love them. And I'll usually say, you know, you may love them or whatever, but do not say, God brought them into your life. God is pro-marriage. God is not into third parties. Scripture's very clear. Be very, very careful. When you sense something and you believe God's drawn you in a direction, be careful and make sure that whatever it is that you believe God's calling you to do, it's consistent with his word. Because if it's not, it's not from God. Another test you can put that leading through is, what would Jesus do? And I know it's kind of become a cliche, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? But it's a great piece that helps you kind of ferret things out. You know, ask yourself, if you're thinking, hey, why don't I do that? Or why don't I take this step? Just say, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus go there? Would Jesus say that? Would he be a part of that to the best of your understanding? Does it make any sense? And then run it through what I'll call the sniff test. Anytime I have something major in my life, especially, I find a wise, mature Christian person to run it through. It's what you need to do. Now, I am not talking about rubber stamp people. Do you know what I mean? You know, some of you have made an art out of this. You believe you need to do such and such, and so now you go find the person that will tell you what you want to hear. You know what I'm talking about? That's dangerous. You go and you find two or three people that you respect. You know, that's what I do. I find people that love me, that know me, that have wisdom and maturity. And most important, people who can be honest with me. And I go, hey, here's what I think God's prompting me to do. Do you think that prompting's from God? And then I get their feedback. It's a great practice. It will keep you from making terrible mistakes in your life if you honor that. And the other thing is to test that leading, whatever it is, through a very basic filter. Does that leading sync up with how God designed you, how God made you, how he wired you up? You know, a few months ago, I was talking to a guy, and he's in data entry stuff. That's what he does all day at his job, and things were kind of getting messy at the company he was working with. He was feeling a little bit restless, and he felt like God was calling him to go into sales for a company. And so he caught me after the service, and he goes, hey, can I get some input from you? do you think I'd make a good salesman? He said, I feel like that's what God's calling me to. And I said to him, I said, look, I don't know you very well, but let me ask you a couple questions. He said, okay. So I said, do you love a job that changes all the time? You know, daily, moment by moment. Do you love a job like that? He goes, no, I hate it when things change. I don't like change. I said, okay. Do you like talking and relating to people? He goes, no, not really. He goes, one of the things I love about my job is I don't have to talk to people. He goes, I've worked by myself all day long. And I said to him, I said, I don't think God's calling you to sales, my friend. And no joke, he goes, thanks a lot. That was really helpful. And walked away. Here's what I believe. I do not believe that God calls us to do something that goes against our basic wiring pattern. I'm not saying that you don't grow in areas and all that, but God wired you a certain way. He created you a certain way, and he will lead you in a way that's consistent with that. When a leading is completely inconsistent with your basic wiring plan, it just doesn't make sense. I look at how God created the world. God put order in this universe. Make sure it passed that test. Now, here's the deal. You run it through all those tests, and if it passes, even if it's a little bit scary, you obey it. You obey it. You go with them to the best of your ability. Friends, you have a God that wants to do every single day, every moment with you, a God that wants to walk and talk with you, wants to lead you. And so tomorrow, when you get up tomorrow, when you're heading to work, school, wherever, God doesn't want you to do tomorrow alone. God wants to lead you. God wants to lead you through the day, you know, step by step. God wants you to be listening. And God wants you to be responding to those leadings that you get along the way during the day. What do you do when you sense God leading? Well, first you got to be listening. And then you got to trust. You got to trust God. That's a big one. And then you just got to respond. And I'll be honest with you, there are times I don't get the end. I don't know what's ahead. All I can do is put one foot in front of the other and take a step and trust God and take a step and be faithful and take a step. But that's how it works. Here's what I can promise you. If you let God lead, those leadings, they will change your life. They've changed mine. They will change your life. I don't think you want to miss that. You know, I'd pray that you'd let God lead. You'll find, you know, that thing that's missing right now. Ultimately, God will help you fill that void, that you find that joy, you find that peace. Pretty soon you wake up, and no matter how crummy yesterday was, you'll wake up knowing that maybe God's going to do something new today. It's an adventure. It truly is. Truly is. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for the times that you are nudging, that you're whispering. God, I thank you for those times when you've screamed into my life. God, I know there's always that level of fear for all of us. But I can't imagine living any other way. God, I pray that we would just be listening, be willing for you to do whatever it is you want to do. Lord, direct us, lead us, guide us. God, may we have the strength to just take a step toward you. Take a step in the direction. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. This day and every day. Amen. Just remain seated and let God minister to you with this.